We ask, Lord, that the beautiful truth that we are yours and you are ours settle in on us today, so that when you call us out into the deep water, out into those places where we will not be able to survive, to do anything apart from you, may it be that when your voice calls us there, that we would have faith, but also great comfort and security in the fact that you are ours and we are yours. As we open your word today, would you speak truth into our lives that would shape us into the likeness of your Son and clarify some things for us about what we believe and how we will live. May how we respond to you now bring honor and glory to you. We love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you're going to children's church, now's the time to go. If you're staying with me, we're in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to be in the 10th chapter again. I'll be preaching through Luke for a long time, apparently. And we're in a text that is part of a three-unit section that deals with the disciples' responsibilities before God. And last week we looked at the first part of that, which is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus talks about how, as his followers, we'll have our focus on our love, our devotion to his Father, and then we'll also focus on how that love for the Father plays itself out in how we relate to others, how we are to treat them and to notice and care for others. And we looked at that last week. The text today we'll look at is going to focus on our devotion, our attention to Jesus Christ as a key element in our discipleship. The next section is in chapter 11, the first 13 verses, where it talks about how a disciple is dependent upon God, especially in matters of prayer. We'll look at that in the coming weeks. But today we're going to look in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. If you'll look with me there, I'll start reading in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, I'm guessing you've heard of this story and many sermons on this subject. And because that is true, this morning I want to tread lightly about Mary and Martha. But the devotion of each one is on display, and there's kind of some examples here that Luke wants us to take into consideration as we consider our own devotion to Jesus Christ. I'll make two observations from the text. Here's the first one, related to Martha. Instead of revealing her devotion to Jesus, Martha is distracted, worried, and upset. Instead of revealing her devotion to Jesus, Martha is distracted, worried, and upset. Now, let me ask you, do you know anybody who could be described as distracted, worried, or upset? Do you have any of these people in your life? I wonder. Don't answer that. They may be sitting next to you. Verse 38 tells us that Jesus goes to Martha's home, and he is to receive a meal there. Martha alone is mentioned as the homeowner, which is significant because she is a woman in Jewish society. Mary also receives a very favorable mention in the text. It's notable that Luke describes women in the role in the life of ministry of Jesus in such a commendable way, in a prominent way. Here, referring to Martha, she is the homeowner, and as such, she is the hostess for whatever soiree is about to take place for Jesus and his disciples. Luke tells us in verse 40 that Martha alone is busy, and she is working hard to serve Jesus and his disciples. The text reveals that she alone is doing a lot. You could almost say slaving away to make whatever party happen that is about to happen. And the language itself is neutral. We can assume what she's doing is good and honorable until Luke adds another detail that's important about Martha. What he tells us is that instead of serving Jesus with gladness, Martha is distracted from Jesus. Now think about that. Instead of serving Jesus with gladness, Martha is distracted from Jesus. Hello. Is that a danger? Yes. In verse 40, that word distracted means being pulled away by something. It can refer to being overburdened with something. It has the idea of being pulled away from a reference point. And here, the reference point is Jesus Christ. Martha is pulled away from Jesus in order to do work for Jesus. Isn't that interesting? The result for Martha of being distracted or pulled away from Jesus in this way is that she is anxious. And the thinking is that at some point she may have been listening to Jesus. And then she realized that nobody's getting the food ready and setting the table and all of these kinds of things. Somebody has to do it. Mary's definitely not going to do it. And so who has to do it? Martha does. And so she gets up. She starts going to work. Otherwise, they're not going to have anything to eat. And as she is working, she's listening to Jesus perhaps. And as time goes by, she is no longer listening to Jesus. She's simply doing the work. Then we see that Martha blames Jesus for allowing her to be overburdened. Jesus could address Mary's inactivity and thus help Martha feel better. See, Martha believes that if Jesus speaks to Mary, he can convince her lazy sister to get up and help. Literally, it says, you can make Mary get up and bear some of the burden. And it communicates that Martha is overburdened with all that she's trying to do. Jesus could help her by making Mary get up and share some of the burden. Mary's not going to get up on her own. Jesus has to make her do it. And that's what Martha wants. Don't make any mistake here. This is not about preparing a meal for Jesus. This is about getting Mary to do what Martha wants her to do. It all comes down to that. Martha wants Mary to do something. And she's telling Jesus he's the only one who can make that happen. And she says, don't you care that I'm so overburdened? Well, of course Jesus cares about Martha. He may not care that she's overburdened. But there's an accusation in the question. Martha is upset at being left alone to do the work. Mary could help, but hasn't because she is paying attention to Jesus. This really upsets Martha, and she can't live with it. And so instead of dealing with Mary herself, Martha blames Jesus in the hopes that Jesus will make Mary do what Martha wants. Are you following the drama here? I'm guessing this is not the first time something like this has come up. Probably a familiar scenario in this family. So Jesus makes a response to Martha. Jesus reveals the anxiety, worry, and anger in Martha's heart. In verse 41, Jesus used a couple of words that vividly describe the reality of what's going on inside of Martha. First, he says she's worried, which means to be apprehensive, to have anxiety, to be anxious, to be unduly concerned about something. And Jesus says it's great many things. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of different things. This is a response to a real or a perceived threat. She's anxious. The other word Jesus uses is upset. She's upset. It means to be troubled or distracted, to be emotionally upset, concerned, and anxious. And so here's the picture. Martha is working for Jesus, but is distracted from Jesus, resulting in her over-focus on her sister Mary and what Mary was and was not doing. She then blames Jesus for not caring enough to fix the situation by making Mary behave as Martha wants her to behave. The result is Martha's upset. She's anxious. And it's coming out of her. And she speaks and acts out of her troubled emotional state. Listen to me, beloved. Nothing good will happen when I speak and act out of my troubled emotional state. Before I say and do anything, it would benefit me and others to calm down and to focus on the Lord. When I speak out of my troubled emotional state, I hurt others. I cause problems. I make a mess that someone's going to have to clean up later. And Jesus puts Martha in her place. What's described here is called an emotional triangle. And it's any three people who have some kind of relationship, or the triangle can be formed between two people plus an outside issue or situation. These triangles form as a way of helping people manage the stress, the conflict, and anxiety in the relationship. And the triangle will usually attempt to take all the stress and the anxiety of the relationship system and focus it on the healthiest, most responsible person in the triangle. Whoever is the healthiest, whoever is the most responsible, is usually the one who's going to get dumped on, because that person's responsible. I don't want to be responsible for all the stuff that I'm feeling. I sure don't want to be responsible for how I feel about Mary. So what am I going to do? I'm going to make Jesus responsible because he's far healthier than I am. And I dump it on him. This is the source of burnout for people. See, burnout doesn't come from being overworked. Burnout comes from being responsible for things that other people should be responsible for. And that's what causes us to operate on empty. And that's when trouble starts. The way out of the triangle is not to try to fix the problems of others, but to make others responsible for their own relationships while still maintaining this connection with them. So notice what Jesus does. Jesus does not allow himself to be bullied by Martha, but responds to her with compassion, honesty, and healthy boundaries. In verse 41, Jesus offers a tender response seen in the double use of her name, Martha, Martha, which is a sign of emotion and deep affection. He loves her dearly, and he speaks to her out of that love. He speaks to her with compassion, and then he tells her the truth so Martha will not live in her self-centered illusions. Martha is not seeing things clearly. Jesus is. So he tells her the truth. And then he does something incredibly powerful and healthy. He says no to Martha. Now, when you get in your agitated emotional state and you start invading the lives of others, do you have anybody present who's going to tell you no? Every one of us needs somebody in our lives who loves us enough to say, whoa, stay in your lane. And this is what Jesus was doing for Martha. He sets a healthy boundary. The image I want you to have is of the snow globe. Jesus puts Martha in the snow globe. You know, in the globe, you have all that snow flying around. And there's people who have drama flying around them all the time. And what they want to do is they want to come and bless you with it. What you have to do is know how to say no and make sure that you keep them in the glass. You can be a part of their lives. That doesn't mean you have to get on the drama train. So they're in all of their drama, doing their thing, saying their thing, but you're safely on this side of the glass. I love you. I care about you. You're important to me. I'm here, but I'm not going to get involved in all of that. And that is a healthy, Christ-like response to people. Here's what I'm saying. People who are upset, worried, and anxious should be treated with compassion, truth, and healthy boundaries. See, like Christ, we can communicate, I care about you deeply. That does not mean I think you are right. And it does not mean I'm going to share your drama. But I love you, you see. And I'm here. And that's significant. Now, believe it or not, everyone in this room is either dealing with another person who has an emotional mess, or we are that person. Without exception, every family has them. Chances are, you're both, just like me. I'm both of those people. And it's okay. Sometimes life makes us a mess. Sometimes we have to deal with friends and family members who are a mess. When that happens, we need to love them enough to stay connected to them with compassion, but also with the truth and with healthy boundaries. Otherwise, healing is never going to take place. But here's the question every one of us needs to ask ourselves. Am I a disciple devoted more to my own fears, worries, and distractions than I am to Jesus Christ? See, my friend, what is shaping your life? Who is shaping your life? Are you being shaped more by your fears and your worries and your distractions than you are being shaped by the presence of Christ? Martha gives us a bad example. Now let's consider a good one. The second thing I want you to see from the text is this. Responding to Jesus takes priority over worldly concerns. Responding to Jesus takes priority over worldly concerns. And so this text highlights an important feature of discipleship, choosing to order one's affairs properly. Now, life is busy with many good and needed tasks and priorities. Some are more urgent than others, I get that. But all of these tasks are likely important in some way. Mary was not helping her sister. That is true. But Jesus said Mary was making the better choice. What we see is this. The priority for Christ followers is to attend to the presence of Jesus. I seek Him. I focus on Him. I listen to Him. I obey what He says. All else is secondary at best. The worries of life or even the demands of serving in God's kingdom should never prevent one from attending to the presence of Christ. So in the text, we have a beautiful picture of discipleship. Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus in the position of a disciple, and she is listening to every word that comes from His mouth. Jesus notes that it is Mary who has chosen well. The image reminds us of Deuteronomy 8:3, where Moses says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so Mary shows us that waiting patiently on the Lord is more important than bustling busyness. And in verse 42, Jesus says that Mary has chosen the one thing that counts, to sit and reflect on Jesus' teaching and the kingdom of God. And Jesus says He's not going to force Mary to do something else. Mary has done what's right. Martha's the one who needs to slow down and relax. The disciple should never be too busy to sit at Jesus' feet. So let me ask you, do you think that you are a good multitasker? Do you mind if I tell you that you're wrong? Most Americans think that they excel at the skill of multitasking, where we can do several things at once and be productive. Much recent neuroscience research tells us that the brain really doesn't do tasks simultaneously as we thought or hoped it might. In fact, what happens in our brain is that we just switch tasks quickly. But each time we move between tasks, there is this start-stop process that is very disruptive to our brain functioning. So if we move from listening to music to writing a text to talking to someone, there are these abrupt starts and stops and starts and stops in our brain that actually, rather than saving us time, cost us time. Granted, it's microseconds, but hey, that adds up, doesn't it? After time, well, I don't know. But it's less efficient. It makes us make more mistakes. And over time, it can sap our energy. So let's do something that might illustrate how well you do with this. So on your bulletin, find an empty space where you can draw two lines, or you can go in the middle of the bulletin where there may be some room for notes, and I know you haven't been taking them, so you can use those lines drawn there. And when I say go in a minute, I want you to write, I am a multitasker on one line, and then go underneath it and number 1 through 20 on the second line. So you're going to write, I'm a multitasker, and then underneath it, you're going to put 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way through 20. And I want you to do this as fast as you can when I say go, and I'm going to time you, and I'll let you know when 10 seconds has passed and then 15 seconds has passed. I'll tell you, there is no reward for who does it fastest. But I am interested to see how well you do with this, okay? So when I say go, you're going to start. Everybody clear? Let's see what happens. Ready, set, go. All right, that's 10 seconds. Are you done? Yeah, Riley's done. Thanks, Riley. All right, there's 20 seconds. Everybody done? All right, how'd you do? You do okay? Did you make any mistakes? No. All right, that's pretty simple. Now, let's try this. I want you to do the same thing, only this time, I want you to alternate your writing between the letters and the numbers. So I want you to write I and then 1, and then A, 2, M, and then go back and forth as fast as you can when I say go, and I'll let you know when 10 seconds and 15 seconds and all of that is passed. Are you ready? Ready, set, go. Okay, there's 10 seconds. How you doing? All right, there's 15 seconds. Why don't you go ahead and stop? Did anybody finish? Did you make more mistakes this time? See, you cannot multitask. Your brain just does not function that way. And it's better, neuroscientists say that it's better to focus on one thing for a time and then switch and work on something else. And here's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid this is an example of how I relate to Jesus Christ. I think I'm doing well, but the truth is, I am not. And sometimes I think that I can add Jesus to all the noise and commitments of my life with no problem. The truth is, what happens is I'm likely losing focus on Christ. And friend, maybe the bravest thing you can do today is admit that you maybe can't juggle everything the way that you thought. And today's the day to honestly, perhaps ruthlessly, decide what you need to let go of so that you can focus more on Christ in your life. The question is, am I attending to the presence of Jesus amidst and above all the other concerns and commitments of my life? Am I attending to the presence of Jesus amidst and above all the other concerns and commitments of my life? I want to invite you today to consider your devotion to Jesus Christ. First, have you become more devoted to your fears, your worries, your distractions than you are to Jesus? If so, today I invite you to repent, to lay your burdens down, to cast all your cares upon Christ, and to sit at His feet as a disciple. Secondly, I invite you to ask whether or not you are focused on Jesus' presence in your life amidst and above all the other concerns and commitments you have. Is this the time for you to decide what needs to go in order for you to focus your attention on Christ the way that He has called you to? How do you need to respond to the Word of the Lord? Let's pray together. And so, Lord, we confess to You that in this world and in our lives, there are so many things that cause us concern and worry and fear and anxiety. There are so many commitments, some of them worthy, that can draw our attention away from You. And left to our own devices, more often than not, we are shaped by these things instead of being shaped by You. And I'm afraid that I become more like everything I'm afraid of than I become more like Christ. So today, Lord, as Your Spirit speaks to us, we ask that You would help us to know what to place at Your feet today, and then have the courage to let it go. Those concerns, those burdens, those fears that we have, those distractions, those commitments, those pursuits that instead of producing Christ-likeness are actually drawing us away. Lord, we want to be compassionate to those people in our lives who are struggling with a great many things, but Lord, help us to know how to have healthy connections with those people, like Jesus did with Martha. And then, Lord, may it be that Mary's influence would be upon us, that we would be willing to sit at Your feet and attend to Your presence and every word that comes from Your mouth. I don't want to miss anything. Fix my attention upon You this day. May Your will be done in the lives of all of those gathered here now as they respond to You. Show them what devotion looks like for them today and what they need to do in response to Your word. May Your will be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.